This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Drive down the highway and you'll see the roadside sprinkled with billboards. And while they zip by, even in those few seconds, a billboard can create a lasting impression. And that's clear from a billboard posted right now along Interstate 20 near the Leeds-Birmingham border. It's got some crying racist and Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald longing for a Cape Crusader. He joins us now as he does most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, tell us about this billboard.
Well, the billboard, and the Leeds mayor will point out that it is in Birmingham, although most people think it's in Leeds, has a saying on it that says, you know, anti-racist is code for anti-white, which is a phrase that's been used in white supremacy circles to kind of stir things up a good bit. And, I just got call after call from people who were seeing people with out-of-state tags stopped along the side of the road taking pictures of it, you know, and were just outraged and felt it was the wrong message, and I agree.
Well, and obviously, when you write about this, you're doing it tongue-in-cheek, but you long for a bat signal and a hero to fly in here. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I mean, because clearly this thing is it's not a legal issue. We have the freedom of speech and whatnot, and we can rail about it. But, you know, it struck me that, not to call for vigilantism or anything, but where are those "you are beautiful" bandits when we need them? They have left their mark, whatever you think of that, on our overpasses and our buildings and that sort of thing. And it just seemed appropriate that if we could flash a signal, maybe they could leave their mark on that billboard.
You know, realistically, apart from the "you're beautiful" bandits, I mean, what can communities do about this? We had a case a while ago about an adult dating billboard near the Birmingham airport that got people outraged. Anything that sort of reinforces those negative Southern stereotypes gets people up in arms. What can we do?
Well, I mean, clearly it's putting pressure on people who own the billboard, and that's been difficult in this particular case because they've been quite scarce. Clearly, economic sorts of pressures work better than anything else in this regard, but so far that hasn't worked in this case.
Well, there's a school of thought that says ignore it, don't give it attention. You know, how do you decide whether something is worth responding to or we should just let it be?
Well, first of all, I'm not in the business of ignoring, you know, so
very
there is that. But I think for me, the thing that made me interested in it was just a level of not just anger but disappointment that I kept hearing from people as they said, you know, this is not us, and it's just telling people as they drive by that what they think about us is true, and so I thought that it needed addressing.
Also this morning, Pope Francis grabbed headlines this week for doing something his predecessors had failed to do. He met with victims who were sexually abused by priests, then issued an apology and asked for forgiveness during a mass. It's something that John says was powerful and humble and something more people should take to heart. And what do you mean by that?
It was a beautiful apology because it did come from the heart, and it did say really all the things that need to be said, not just about individual cases, but about failure to act, passive and active sort of wrongs. And you look around and you can see, whether it's in politics and in business, we have all these situations where we really try to double down on our wrongs and defend ourselves and stick by our guns, and when in fact an apology is both the right thing to do and often the best thing to do. And I think the Pope the Pope led.
Well, that may be a nice sentiment, but whether you're talking about business, when you apologize, that's oftentimes when you lose a lawsuit and it costs you. You can be a politician, and even if you are genuine, people don't believe you. I mean, what's the incentive to apologize in today's world?
You're talking like a lawyer again, and I think maybe that gets us into some of these problems. But there are ways to apologize without, I mean, in that case, if you really have a legitimate case worried about lawsuits, I mean, you can apologize without implicating yourself. And in many, many cases, it's not an issue at all.
Well, what do you think a world looks like where more people are genuinely apologizing?
Well, in my mind, I don't want people apologizing if they're not sorry or if they did no wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying genuine apology is powerful, and the world looks better when we do that.
Well, perhaps it's time for our own apology of sorts, because believe it or not, John and I, we really don't know what we're doing. We're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. But that's okay, because you probably don't know what you're doing either. None of us do. That's basically the message from a recent column in The Guardian. So, John, you know, explain what the case is kind of laid out here.
Yeah, a guy in The Guardian wrote this column. I found it so refreshing because he laid out a really nice case for the fact that we're all winging it every minute of the day. We can prepare, and we want our doctors to prepare. Of course, we want Nick Saban to prepare. But when push comes to shove, we're all winging it. And I could relate to it so well because it's really the case. And if you think about that, we're all it is really a refreshing thing to me to think about it in that way.
So it sounds like if we're all winging it, we need to be prepared to give a lot of apologies.
Yeah, but we'll wing those too.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and online at any time. John, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.